just really good to be here at SCAC, and thanks to the worship team for just leading us so well this morning. I want to welcome you, especially if you're a first-time guest, visitor. We're just really glad you're here. We have time of fellowship downstairs after service with some refreshments, so hopefully you will join us and give us a chance to meet you. Also, we have a newcomer luncheon, so if you've come to SCAC, if you've been new here for the past maybe 2 months or so, we have a newcomer luncheon, and that is at 11:30, two Sundays from now, room A4. Today's a busy day, too. We've got an annual business meeting, so it's one of those meetings where we talk about the English and Chinese ministries, kind of a review of 2014, where we're seeking to go in 2015. We have to pass the budget for 2015, and I think this is the first year where, you know, the total budget altogether is going to be over $1 million, so it's a pretty big deal. So I just encourage all of you to attend so we can just hear the reports, and then we have to take a vote, and it's probably not going to be that long, maybe just 30 to 45 minutes of the meeting. All right, 1 o'clock. I'm sure you're excited for that one as well. Everyone excited for our Super Bowl next week? Yeah? It's going to be awesome, right? Yes. So if you are looking for a place to watch the Super Bowl, all right, SCAC, we're actually opening up the Fellowship Hall downstairs next week. So we're going to actually have a super big Super Bowl party here. So we'll have, you know, all the good stuff, you know, pizza, wings, chips, things, stuff like that. Non-alcoholic beverages. Just by the way, does anyone here know they're coming, like, to that one? I mean, the announcement just came out yesterday. Does anyone here yet know if they're coming? Maybe just one person? Okay. All right. You have a lot of pizza, Raven. Yeah. Okay. But just let me know so we can kind of get a good food count. Man, good times, good times. So we're in this series called A Beacon on the Hill, and we've been addressing what we see as some of the major issues in our community that we interact with really on a daily basis. And we started the series off talking about domestic violence, and we had a workshop on that. And Principal Angela came in. She talked a little bit about poverty and racism, especially how it affects the children and school. And today we have a very good special speaker, Kelly Aramaki. And Kelly is the executive director of Southeast Schools in the Seattle Public School District. And before he comes up, let me just remind you of that this series is not just about the awareness piece. It's a very important part to us, the awareness piece, but it's just as important. It's the action piece. Knowledge without any action doesn't do any good. Just a lot of action with really no knowledge is not that beneficial either. And so at SCAC, we want that to have that really that passion for both. So just want to remind you that part of the action plan that we have for this is that we need more after-school mentors. In the past couple weeks, we've had maybe 5 people sign up. These are 5 new people that are sometimes mentors, so praise God for that. We're like halfway there for our goal. Our goal was like 10 new mentors. We're halfway there just in the first month of January, so it's so good. Thank you, church, so much for responding. You can pray. If you can't be down the stairs in the after-school program, we need prayer to people to pray for our kids, so we have those prayer bookmarks, right? You can pick them up here or downstairs. So it's really easy. We could pray for one child. We talked about meals, especially if you've got some time on your hand, maybe you're a senior citizen, you could cook some meals. We have some really simple meals. You can do spaghetti dinners, things like that, just whenever you're available to do that. We also asked all the TGs to watch the Undivided movie, right? How many people have watched the Undivided movie so far? Okay, all right, good. So you have until like next week, you know, get that done. Watch it with your TG. And then next week, really important, next week after the service, directly after service, we're going to have a prayer walk. All right, it's a prayer walk. So it's the first time we've done this really as a church. And so we're going to meet directly downstairs in the fellowship hall. We'll have everything organized into groups, and we're going to go out into Beacon Hill and in small groups, and we're going to pray for our community. So that's going to be a really interesting and really fun time. And remember that today, we have a workshop by Mr. Paula Rose. Paula Rose is here today. So Paula Rose is going to give a workshop on poverty, racism, and how it affects children as well. And Paul is he's the Youth Services Director at Union Gospel Mission. So, yes, our guest speaker today is Mr. Kelly Aramaki, and He's a good friend, and he worships at Faith Bible Church. And so he's even though he's the executive director, he's really coming today as a believer, as a person in Christ, as a person who sees the needs that we've been talking about these past couple of weeks. He interacts with those things on a daily basis as well. And he really has a heart, as I've known him over the years, such a great heart for the community of Beacon Hill, for the Rainier Valley, for the schools, for the teachers, the principals, and definitely the students. And it's just really interesting, I think, what God is doing in his life and the place that he's placed him. And he's been a great encouragement to our ministry to keep going, to helping us see the bigger picture of not only what we're doing here at SCAC and between Dearborn, but the bigger picture in what other churches are doing and how SCAC can continue to be an encouragement and a model for other church-school partnerships. So would you guys give a big welcome to Mr. Kelly Aramaki.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's working okay? Oh, yeah, great. Thank you. I feel the same way, Pastor Roy. I feel so fortunate to have been able to build up a friendship with you over the past year or so. It has been such a blessing to get to know Pastor Roy. He and I actually, we run into each other all the time at the Columbia City Starbucks early in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning every other week or so. And it's just, I appreciate him so much. He's a great friend, but he also, I feel like, in a way, mentors me and kind of prompts me and pushes me to stay hopeful and faithful in the work that I'm doing with schools. But even through Pastor Roy, I'm so thankful to be connected to Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. The things that you're doing here as a church is really just God-inspired. And so I feel blessed to have that connection. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can grow that and do more with that type of relationship between church and school. So in my job, I oversee 20 schools all in the Rainier Valley and on Beacon Hill. And I'm so fortunate to be able to go into schools, see what schools are doing, work with principals, talk about how we can make schools better for children. And there's some really incredible things happening in the Southeast region. I just wanted to talk about how, like, Cleveland High School, anybody graduate from Cleveland or go to Cleveland? Really amazing things. Cleveland was, at a time, the bottom 5% of schools in the state of Washington. And then we brought the STEM program in, science, technology, engineering, math. And now they've received an award as being one of the top 5% fastest growing schools as far as academics. Dearborn Park International School, they've brought in the language immersion program. And watching these little kids, kindergartners, speaking in Mandarin and Spanish is really a tremendous thing. I'm really excited about the work that's happening through churches in the Southeast region, things that are happening here at SCAC with Dearborn Park, but also the work that the Union Gospel Mission is doing here in the Southeast region, and Urban Impact, the work that they're doing with Rainier Beach High School. It's just amazing, the things that believers are doing to lift up the community. I also have to say, in addition to the great things that I see happening all around the region, there are huge challenges that keep me up at night. And every morning I wake up, usually one of the first things that come into my mind are the challenges facing the Southeast region. And I don't want to be a downer, but it's something that is just on my heart all the time. You know, most recently, I got a call from one of my principals, and she had found out that one of her students had committed suicide, and he's part of a gang. And just a couple weeks before, his older brother was killed as a result of gang activity. A few months ago, I got a call from another principal who told me that one of her students was shot by her grandfather. And then there's just a whole bunch of turmoil in their family. And we're seeing a lot of that. A lot of that is, you know, the impact of violence, drugs, poverty. They're really impacting our community. But I think one of the most pressing issues facing the Southeast region and the whole city of Seattle, in fact, is this thing that we call the academic achievement gap. And that is what I'm here to talk about today, is the academic achievement gap and what we as Christians can do about it. So like a good teacher, I'm going to just outline quickly what we're going to talk about. I'm going to talk about what the gap is and the impact on students. And then I'm going to talk about what God's heart is around the academic achievement gap. Where does the gospel intersect with the gap? And then I'm going to end talking about action. What can we do as Christians to help mediate or eliminate the academic achievement gap? So with that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we have this morning. I thank you so much for the Seattle Chinese Alliance Church and the work that you're doing in this church and through this church. Father, I think back to the song that we sang earlier, Great Are You, Lord, how you give life and how you are love, how you bring light to the darkness, how you give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Father, we're going to talk about that today, and that is our prayer this morning, that you would bring light into darkness. And that you would do that, Lord, in a powerful way, and that you would do it through us too. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Help me, Lord, to bring your message clearly. And if I can't bring it clearly, Lord, I pray that you at least make it understandable to people. But we just pray that this time is a good time of learning and a time of action, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's talk about the academic achievement gap. The academic achievement gap is a significant and persistent disparity or gap. It's a significant and persistent disparity or gap in academic performance between different groups of students, such as white students and minorities, or students from higher income and lower income households. So the academic achievement gap is just, it's the difference in how students perform based on the group that they're in. So the best way that I can really talk about it is to show you a picture of it. So let's go ahead and put up the next slide. Evan, thank you. This is a picture of the academic achievement gap. This is Seattle's academic achievement gap in reading for grades 3 through 5. So this is grades 3 through 5 reading scores on our state reading test. And these are the results. You can see the results in 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014. And what you'll see is the top line, the blue line, are how our white or Caucasian students perform on the 3rd through 5th grade reading test, state reading test. 91% of them in 2014, this past year, 91% of them passed the reading test. That means they're reading at standard or above grade level standard. That is compared to Asian, which mostly Chinese, that are performing about 81%. So 81% of the kids, or 8 out of 10 Asian kids, pass the reading test in 3rd through 5th grade. But then you look down, and there's our Latino students. 64% of them passed in 2014. So about 6 out of 10 Latino students passed the reading test, or were reading at grade level or above. 51%, the purple line there, is our African-American students, black or African immigrants. 51%, only half of them are reading at grade level by 3rd through 5th grade on the state reading test. And then the Pacific Islander line, it usually is around 59, 60, but this past year, only 47% of them passed. So when we talk about the academic achievement gap, we say it's significant. The significant comes in the gap. There is a 40% gap in how white students do compared to African American students. 40%. So in one group, 9 out of 10 will pass, and in another group, half will pass. We say that it's persistent, and what that means is it hasn't changed. This is the past 4 years, and you can see the gap is about 40% for those two groups for the last 4 years. But the most depressing part is that if you go back another 10 years or another 20 years, as far back as we have state testing, the gap has never changed. We found this binder that was from the 70s, and it shows their standardized testing, and they still had a gap, about 40%. All these years, all these educators and people passionate about education, and we haven't been able to close the gap. And what I'm going to talk about today is how, above everything else, gang violence, drugs, and all of that, I feel like this is the most pressing issue that's facing our city and our nation in education. So let's talk about, I know people are probably thinking why this is happening, like why we have this persistent gap, and I will get to that, but I want to show you first, like, who cares? What's the impact of the gap? So we have this gap, but let's talk about the impact, and what I'm going to talk about is how the achievement gap impacts career, the opportunities that kids have in their careers. It impacts a person's earning potential, so how much a person can earn over their lifetime. The achievement gap impacts the health of the community, and it impacts life itself. That sounds really dramatic, but I'm going to show you how it impacts life. Okay, so let's go to the next slide, and we'll talk about the impact. So keep in mind the picture of that slide, okay? The lines that are literally like parallel, 40% gap between white and African American. Okay, and let's look at this first one. Third graders who are reading below grade level are 4 times less likely to graduate from high school. Okay, so if you're not reading at grade level by third grade, you're 4 times less likely to graduate from high school. So you look at the gap, and you look at your white students or your Asian students, there are fewer of them who have that chance of not graduating. But you look at our Latino students, Southeast Asian, or African-American, 4 times less likely for those kids who aren't reading above grade level or at grade level to graduate from high school. Third graders reading below grade level and who live in poverty are 13 times less likely to graduate from high school. So you add the poverty factor to not being able to read, and they're 13 times less likely to graduate from high school. And then this next one is a contrast. In contrast, third graders who are reading at grade level or above grade level by third grade, regardless of poverty or race, 90% of them end up graduating from high school. So if we can get them to read by third grade, 90% of them will graduate from high school. But you look at the gaps. We know this, and we know that we have to focus on reading, and yet we still see this gap for the last 10, 20, 30 years. So then the question is, who cares about high school graduation? Like, does that really matter? So let's look at the next slide, and let's look at the impact of not graduating from high school. And this is where the gap really, really matters. Students who don't graduate from high school are more than 2 times as likely to live in poverty. So if you don't graduate from high school, you double your chance of living in poverty. Students who don't graduate from high school, and this is not a typo, I had to look a number of times. Students who don't graduate from high school are 63 times more likely to be incarcerated than college graduates. Incarcerated means put in jail, put in prison. If you don't graduate from high school, you're 63 times more likely to be put in jail or prison sometime in your life than someone who graduates from college. Students who don't graduate from high school have a shorter lifespan on average by 7 years. So their life is actually shorter than people who do graduate. And then this one is really stunning, but 95% of gang members are high school dropouts. So when you look at the impact of not graduating from high school, you look at how the achievement gap at third grade predicts high school graduation, and then you look at how the disparity exists between white and Asian students versus Latino African American students, what we're seeing is we're seeing groups of children based on race or poverty being put into a future that looks like this. So let's ask the question, why is there an achievement gap? And to answer this question, let's go to the next slide. There we go. What I want to talk about is this thing called the canary in the coal mine. This is something that Dr. John Powell, he's a professor at Stanford. He studies race and education. He came and spoke with the principals, all 194 principals in Seattle School District this past summer. And he talked to us about this thing called the canary in the coal mine. The canary in the coal mine, it refers to the caged canaries or those caged birds that miners would carry down into the mine tunnels with them. So this is before we had instruments that could test for carbon monoxide, methane, and things. Before we had those kind of things, the canaries would, if carbon monoxide, methane, if they were coming into the mine, the canary would get sick or would die first. And if the canary got sick or died, then the humans who were down there, who can't smell anything, they would know they need to get out of there right away because the gases are going to kill them eventually too, but they're just not as sensitive as the canary is. So that's kind of the idea of the canary in the coal mine. So how does this relate to the academic achievement gap? Well, Dr. Powell, what he suggests is our African-American students, our Latino students, our Southeast Asian kids, they are the canary in the coal mine. So our kids that are in the academic achievement gap, they're the canary in the coal mine. There's nothing wrong with the bird or the students themselves, but it's all about the quality of the air in the system. Does that make sense? So what he's saying is, in education, when a child is struggling, what we all do, teachers, principals, parents, is to ask, what's wrong with the student? Gosh, why is he not learning? I wonder if it's because of this, or I wonder if it's because of that. Gosh, why? I wonder if the parents don't care. I bet the parents don't really care about the child's education. I wonder if, you know, maybe it's the child's culture. You know, it could be that maybe the country that they come from, they don't really value education. We hear that one a lot. But what Dr. Powell is saying is that it's not about the child. We would never blame the canary in the coal mine for dying or getting sick. We would never try to go in and try to fix or help the canary. When it comes to a canary in the coal mine, what we would do is figure out how to clean out the air. And that's his challenge to us, and that's my challenge as I work with my principals in my schools is, what is it about the air or the quality of the environment in our schools, in the classrooms, in our neighborhoods, in our community, what is it about that that is making some kids fail and other kids not? And what I want to challenge you all as a church is to kind of go with me on this and think, instead of thinking about what's wrong with the child or the family, but let's together think about what it is about the environment in our neighborhoods, in our society. What is it that we can fix in order to help these children? And so let's talk about the causes of the achievement gap that aren't about the child. And those factors include things outside of school as well as inside, okay? So let's talk about the factors that impact the achievement gap that are outside the school as well as inside. The first one, just talking about outside, we have to talk about poverty. Poverty is a huge factor in the academic achievement gap. And I think the thing about poverty is that poverty propagates poverty. You know, we have this term generational poverty because once you're in it, it's so difficult to get out of it. And poverty tends to segregate in our neighborhoods. And so based on kind of the way our societies are situated, if you're poor, you can only afford to live in certain areas, and so you end up with huge concentrations of poverty. And then when you have huge concentrations of poverty, there's less access to healthy food, less access to healthcare, less access to transportation. There's less access to so many things because we concentrate poverty in our neighborhoods. The impact of poverty on kids is pretty clear. When I was a principal, I would see kids come to school, and their only meals would be breakfast, free for them, and lunch. But then they'd go home and have no dinner, and they would have no food until they got back to school in the morning. So these kids would have no nutrition at home because parents literally can't afford it. And so imagine how hard it is. I mean, I know how hard it is for me to focus when I'm late to eating a meal. But for some of these kids, they actually skip whole meals and on weekends aren't eating very much at all. So imagine what that impact is on their own brain development and on their own concentration. Other impacts of poverty, during the summertime, the parents are working. I mean, these parents work so hard to lift their families up, but they can't afford summer school or summer camps. Like my wife and I, we planned summer camps for our daughter, and we were like, oh, maybe she'll take tennis, you know, because I really want her to play tennis. And then we tried golf, and she, it's okay, huh, Hannah? It was okay. She hated it. But we also got her into robotics class, but we could afford those things. But a lot of the families, like when I was the principal at Beacon Hill, the families couldn't afford it. So what happens is the kids stay home, and they're taking care of their siblings. But then that's when we see the gap widening even more. Kids who have money and access, they get these great summer programs. Kids who don't, they don't get anything like that. It's the same thing for after-school programming. A lot of kids who have money, whose families have money, they can go into after-school classes and things like that. But kids who don't have access to things like that. That's why your church is doing things like providing after-school classes. One really good example of where access, poverty impacts access is if you, any Garfield High School graduates? Oh, great. Yeah, great. Garfield has a world-renowned jazz program, as you know. I mean, they're always winning national awards and going to these national things, and people around the world knows about Garfield's music program. But I think that the justice issue around Garfield's music program is that it doesn't reflect the diversity of the student body. So the Garfield Jazz Music Program is mostly white students and maybe some Asian kids, but very few Latino or African American kids. And the question is it because the kids aren't talented like the other kids? Or is it because the kids don't care about music? Like, why do we have a gap in music achievement? But the answer is really clear. Kids who can afford private lessons and can go through all this private music training, they get to that level that prepares them for Garfield's music program. But kids that don't have that access, all we really offer in the schools is a fourth and fifth grade, usually just fifth grade, kind of music class that they go to once a week. And it's with 30 other kids. And so you can see right there that if you have resources, you have much different opportunities than if you don't. On the inside of school, so that's a factor that impacts kids on the outside of school, but a factor that impacts the achievement gap on the inside of school, I mean, there's so many. I'm just going to mention two, and one of them is also about access and opportunity. We have less opportunity and access to advanced learning, to high rigor, to really high-quality schools in high-poverty schools. Because there's so many needs and challenges, we don't offer international baccalaureate and things STEM like and programs like STEM in our high-poverty schools. And so kids literally have different access to programs when they're in poverty. And in schools that are just high minority populations. So that's something that we're working on in the school district. Another thing that's a source of academic achievement gap in our schools is a really tough thing to talk about, and that is our own perception of kids as educators. So everybody that goes into education, we have the most committed teachers in the Seattle Public Schools, the most committed principals. But the thing is, we all have these unconscious biases about kids and people, something that we don't ever want to talk about, but nobody is not affected by it. People say racism and things like that, it's like a smog. Everybody breathes it. Whether you're a person of color or you're not a person of color, racism is a smog that everybody breathes. And so my quick example of that is when I was a principal at John Stanford, I had a student, African-American, his name was Ladarius Lewis, an incredible kiddo. And he had some challenges, but he and I built a great relationship. I'd play basketball with him and talk to him, check in with his mother. And one time, he was in the lunchroom, and he and this other student were getting into some kind of pushing, shoving thing. And in a second, I said, Ladarius, what are you doing? And he looks at me, and then the other student, who's white, said, "Oh, Mr. Amaki, it was my fault. I stole his jacket. So he was just trying to get it back." And Ladarius and I looked at each other, and it was like we both knew what we were thinking. He knew that I called him out because he's African American. I would never do that consciously. Never. I would never do that consciously. But my unconscious bias, when I see two kids arguing, it immediately called out the child with darker skin. And that's somebody who cares about the achievement gap and equity and justice. But we have these unconscious biases, and we know that there's this national dialogue right now about how biases are impacting people of color out on the streets. It's a huge conversation, but the weird thing is that it's also happening in our classrooms with the most passionate and the most dedicated people. So anyways, those are the bottom line, I guess, is what I want to say is that the achievement gap has different factors outside and inside of the school. We're not blaming the kids, but because it's something that's really impacting our schools on this huge scale, it is a true social justice issue. Let's go on to the next slide. So let's just talk about the intersection between the gospel and the gap. I guess the first thing I'll mention is that God loves kids, okay? So let's look at the, we'll put up the next slide, which has the, God loves children. And we know, you know, that passage about where Jesus was, people were bringing their kids to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." He responded in anger to his disciples who were trying to keep the kids away. He prioritizes children. He loves children. He's called, in Psalms, he's called the father to the fatherless. And so we know that he cares about children. Let's move to the next one that talks about God being a God of justice. Go ahead, one more. The second thing that impacts the achievement gap is that God is a God of justice. And there's over 200 references about how God is a God of justice. And so let's just look at a couple of them here. So in Psalms, in Isaiah, it's all over the place, but the Lord loves righteousness and justice. Micah 6:8 is a very famous, you know, that God calls us to act justly and to love mercy. And then Matthew 12:18 talks about how Jesus was sent to proclaim justice to the nations. But the one that I want to focus on is Matthew. So let's turn to the Matthew one. There we go. So this one you'll recognize, but it talks about when we are all standing before God. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." To me, this is like the ultimate Jesus talking about his heart for justice. He says, when we're standing there before him at judgment, he will separate us and recognize us by whether we do these things for the least of these, whether we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit those who are in prison, give clothes to those needing clothes. When we look at the academic achievement gap, when we look at the connection between kids not achieving, then not graduating from high school, and then the connection between not graduating from high school and the increased chances of poverty, going to prison, joining gangs, what it makes me realize is that we're seeing these people in the children before it's happened. So we're seeing the face of Jesus in the kids at Dearborn Park. But it's before, in some cases, it's happened. If we don't help them and intervene with these kids and support them now, then this is the future for so many of them, living in poverty, getting involved in violence, being put in prison, not having good health. That's why it's so critical that as a Christian, we care about the academic achievement gap and that we do something about it. And so I'm going to pause. Let's not go on to the next slides just because I'm looking at the time and I want to wrap up. So I'm just going to summarize. Here's what I think our call is. To me, everything goes back to the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. As Christians, to respond to addressing the achievement gap for kids, the first thing we have to do is we have to love God. First and foremost, we have to love him so much that the things that he loves are the things that we love. The things that breaks his heart are the things that should break our hearts. God is a God of justice, and we need to love him so much that we internalize his passion for justice. So I encourage you to learn more about issues of justice, learn more about how you can help with schools and with children. Watching Undivided, that's a really good one. I would highly encourage you, if you haven't seen Undivided, it shows the power of a church intervening in a school. Reading the Hole in Our Gospel or Radical. There's so many books out there that can really show you the heart of God around the issue of justice. And then the second one, to love your neighbor as yourself. God has called us to love each other in a self-sacrificing way. And so, to me, that it means continuing what you're doing as a church. Continue to reach out to Dearborn Park. Continue to volunteer after school, to cooking food for children, mentoring them, tutoring them, praying for them. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. If you go to SCAC but you haven't had a chance to do something like that, I encourage you to jump in and try one thing. It is life-changing for kids. It is what God is calling us to do. And then the last thing, I wonder if you can jump to the slide about praying. The last thing I want to talk about is just praying. The work that we're doing in the Southeast region for kids is not something that we can tackle on our own human strength. We have tried for years and years and years. God calls us to pray for justice. We're not going to read it now, but he has a great parable about a widow who, it's up there, I can see there. But he asks, the widow just perseveres and prays for justice. And he says that he will deliver justice if we continue to pray day and night. So let's love God and let's love what he loves around justice. Let's love our neighbor and really reach out. And then let's pray with great perseverance for our children. Okay, with that, let's pray together as a church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for moving in the leaders and in the congregation here at SCL Trans Alliance Church to reach out to the children at Dearborn Park. Father, I pray that you will continue to grow this church. I pray that you will not only grow them in their relationship with Dearborn, I pray that you'll grow SCAC as a leader in our region for growing other churches and church-school partnerships, Lord. So many churches are taking their lead from Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. I pray that you will use them in a really powerful and instrumental way to help other churches learn how they can shine God's light into their schools so that we can eliminate the academic achievement gap for our children. Father, thank you again for this time together. Thank you for using your humble servants, Lord, in the work that you're doing to bring justice and reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen.